The talk today is about balance. I've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it again, because balance is such an essential part of our effective living, and living to be 120 and healthy, and to allowing the healing spirit's presence in our lives to fully manifest. I'm going to use the idea of a playground seesaw in order to make this set of concepts more visual. I think the idea of the seesaw imbalance can be combined with a couple of other ideas, one of which is the journey from helplessness to happiness that I've made up, plus the idea of adding or subtracting vibrations at your end of the seesaw. I suggest you draw three different diagrams. The first way to draw is draw a horizontal line, maybe 4 or 5 inches long, and the length is going to be the same in all three. So draw that horizontal line, and somewhere near the midpoint, underneath, draw a triangular fulcrum, which represents the fulcrum of the level seesaw. Now, you can draw a same type of diagram, but in this case, draw it with the right end of the seesaw down and the left end higher up. Again, the fulcrum would be in the center point. The third variation is the reverse of the second. That is, the left end of the seesaw is down and the right end is up. And again, the fulcrum is in the center. These three diagrams represent three extremes of balance. The first one is perfectly balanced, which you can imagine is pretty rare. And the other two extremes are out of balance in one direction or the other. Now, if the seesaw had markings on it, literally on the board itself, and this is the way I would suggest that you do it, starting from the extreme left end and moving inward, so on the far left end would be shame, then moving inward apathy, then inward grief, then inward fear. Now, there's a wide open area in the center, so no sense labeling that at this moment. Starting from the far right edge of the seesaw, you can label the far right as pride, then moving inward anger, then moving inward lust, and then moving inward is fear. So in that wide middle section, there is other ways to consider that, one of which is to consider that area as balance or normal, but I'm going to have you label it with three different words, one stacked above the other. So above the board and then moving increasingly upward, you can write in the word courageousness, then above that acceptance, and then above that peace. The idea is that when a person emotionally moves further away from their center, they begin experiencing one sequence of emotional states or another. Now, you can know that you're looking, you see fear two different times. When we experience fear, we could be moving into that left-end variety of emotions, or we could be moving into that right-end variety of emotions. But either way, we would be tipping the seesaw by adding our weight or our attention or our beliefs or our heaviness to that end. And as we add more of our attention, more of our power to that slide, we would continue and accelerate that slide toward that extreme end. Now, if you look at that first seesaw, you recognize that represents perfectly balanced. Well, seesaws are not fixed. They move, they wobble, they go up and down and up and down. And it really indicates that it would be no fun for us if we got on a seesaw that didn't move. We don't really seek to have a life that's perfectly balanced all the time, because that fixed seesaw type of a life, it wouldn't be interesting to us for very long. We would think it is boring, and really the excitement or the drama that is in life, that we add to life, is what holds our attention and keeps us engaged and growing. Now, the challenges that we find ourselves in life is what causes us to access additional energies, either internal to us, our own strengths, maybe heretofore undiscovered, or our ability to connect more fully to this fulcrum of support. Now, a lot of different ways to look at that fulcrum of support, but you can recognize that on the seesaw, as we start moving away from that center, we become more unstable, more unbalanced. And as if we can get closer to that center, and one way to look at it is getting closer affinity. Affinity is the idea of being able to occupy the same space as someone or something else, to include concepts. Now, you can recognize that two people in love have a high level of affinity. That is, their ability to be physically, emotionally close is very easy. Reality is this kind of a perspective on what's real, what's important, what's valuable, what's interesting, what's fun, and so on. So one person's reality and another person's reality are not necessarily the same thing. What we're looking to do is to be able to get a reality on whatever it is we want to become close to. And if we can agree on that, or at least accept a different reality, then we cease to be near the extreme ends of that seesaw. And the third area is communication. If we add communication is looking at something, talking to something, touching something, thinking about something, that whole sending messages back and forth, taking in information relative to someone, something, learning, reading a book, that's communication. We take in this information. As that comes in, all of these things start to give us a greater sense of balance. How do we regain balance when we start slipping, when we start sliding toward either the shame end of the seesaw or the pride end of the seesaw? Here are a couple of ideas. The first one is to recognize that the fulcrum is the thing that supports our state of being balanced. Now, that triangle is an image that I use because it represents a couple of different things. In Christianity, it represents the Trinity, and that's a very, very powerful image and very powerful concept. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That idea can be very supportive for people who are inclined in that direction. Another way you could use those words that I just defined a moment ago, affinity, reality, and communication. And when you add those three, it results in understanding. And it could also represent other ideas, and you can use your imagination on this, but let me suggest a couple or three. Self-acceptance. When we're self-accepting, we're a lot more in balance. When we're other-accepting, when we accept other people, that also, now we're not inclined to fight or flight, which, if you take a look at this seesaw and you see how you have it labeled with shame, apathy, grief, and fear on one end, and the fear, lust, anger, and pride on the other end, you could see that the one on the left smacks of flight. The one on the right smacks of fight. And so in between is the alternative, courageousness, acceptance, and peace. So we can add the third value, if you wanted, besides self-acceptance, other acceptance, you could add compassion or other values that when you harmonize with them, when you put your attention on them, bring you back into balance. The second idea is that we can more easily regain balance if we either add energies to us or we subtract heavy energies from us. Oftentimes in our culture, we think of adding. Let me add something. That's a medical paradigm too. Let me add this. Let me add that. Let me add this chemical. Let me add this chemo. Let me add this radiation. That's not necessarily the best approach. Oftentimes, subtracting something, and in the context of this sort of imagery, is we hold on to a lot of things that don't belong to us. Heavy energies, our beliefs about ourselves, shameful or apathetic, we can't do anything about it, and on, feelings of grief because we believe we've lost something, those are heavy energies. If we hold on to them, it tends to drag us down. But if we can subtract those, if we can remove those, if we can shift those, if we can heal those, now all of a sudden things are different. If we want to add vibrations, not adding heavy vibrations, but in fact adding humor, generosity, fun, curiosity, exploration, lighter things, which now all of a sudden changes the dynamics of the board. In some cases, in that second point, if we could open up to help and have somebody literally participate in adding energy to us, this is what teachers are for, this is what coaches are for, this is what mentors are for, this is what parents are for, this is what assistants are for, this is what partners and colleagues are for, bosses and employees, you can get the picture here. If they would add their energy to our situation, we can shift this balance. Or if they can help us to release this heavy, erroneous, no longer serves us type of energies or beliefs that we've been holding on to, now all of a sudden things start to shift as well. I think it's this ability to access help that connects us to God, to spirit, to other divine support that I would say, and the human instruments used by the divine. A way to get back into balance, we could take a lesson from Dale Carnegie, who noted this in one of his famous books, that we can quickly get into balance by helping others instead of staying connected through worry about our own lack of balance. That all of a sudden start moving that energy can shift things not only for another person, but also for us. As I said earlier, I don't think our goal is to be balanced all of the time. It's nice from time to time, and it's restful, and it's great. However, as a constant diet, I think it wouldn't be very exciting. And so, if you think about this a little bit, I think you might agree. Our goal is to be able to go out of balance without harm, and then quickly get back into balance. When we walk, we go out of balance with each step, but people who can walk physically, who have that physical capability, can control their muscles, recognize that as we walk, we go out of balance, into balance, out of balance, into balance, out of balance, into balance. When we first tried that as infants, very small children, we hadn't mastered that particular activity. We didn't have the act or the knack for that activity, much like riding a bicycle for the very first time. Somebody looking at the bicycle for the very first time being ridden by somebody else, you go like, wow, they can appreciate that little teeny thin wheel, two of them, only a very small piece of area of the tires are actually touching the ground. It's like, how do you do that? But we're blessed by this ability to establish balance, get back into balance, go out of balance, and get back into balance. And so we accept that balance, out of balance, go back into balance as a normal process in life, and in fact, it is normal. People go to horror movies so they can experience, without harm, the emotion of fear and fright. So bouncing back into balance is their goal. Let me just interject this idea. The trouble with seeing a horror movie, even though the theater is a safe environment, you got popcorn on your lap and maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend sitting next to you, is that the water in our bodies has memory, and so do our cells. So the water in the cells remember the fear that we're experiencing, and it's real to them. They don't get that it's pretend. They don't get that it's Hollywood fiction. It is real to them. So I'm thinking that as a regular diet, horror is a very poor vibrational input if you're interested in creating an open, successful, healthy, happy life. Now let's go back to how we get into balance. If you scan life, not only human life, but all life, and things that appear to us not to be alive, the natural mountains and rivers and soil and so on, the natural movement seems to be toward balance. And it's certainly true not only when we're walking, but in human endeavors as well. For example, if we want to lose or gain weight, we say we need to balance our calorie intake with our energy output. Said another way, if we eat more calories than our lifestyle burns, we're going to put on weight because we are out of balance relative to input of energy and output of energy. If we have financial troubles, I suggest it probably is a problem of balance. Take a look at this. The income is either not balanced with the expenditures plus the savings. That means the income is either insufficient or the expenditures are excessive. One way or another, input and output are out of balance. Like walking, other processes require balance in order to continue. If we want to be entrepreneurs, we need to balance some fundamental processes. Now, I think a week or so ago, I mentioned a book that I found to be fabulous called Outliers, Outliers, by Malcolm Gladwell, describing success. Very interesting book, very interesting. I would encourage you to check it out on Amazon. And another book, Ripples from the Zambezi, talks about business and entrepreneurs. That's written by Ernesto Ciroli, Ciroli. Ernesto Ciroli says that there are three fundamental processes in business. This is a great rule of thumb. Producing and delivering a product or service is one. Marketing and selling that product or service is two. And then accounting for the costs and income from those first two processes is the third step. So if you look at that idea, that model, as if it were a three-legged stool, you go, three-legged stool. It becomes clear that these three activities have to be more or less equally balanced, more or less equally emphasized in a business. So back to the seesaw. How do we get back into balance? I remember this as a child, and I bet you do too. When we were on the seesaw in a playground, if a child on the other end was heavier than us, we may have called over a friend to climb on our end of the seesaw to try to balance the seesaw. So now one big kid on that end and two smaller children on the other end was one way we would have tried to achieve that balance. If we were very young, you might be able to recall this scenario in which an adult came up behind us and stood there and held that end of the seesaw and kind of added their energy to it, either to push it down or lift it up, push it down, lift it up, with the idea of controlling the degree which the kids were going to experience imbalance, balance, so it wasn't too dramatic. And really, it was a protective kind of activity on their part. Being a successful entrepreneur requires us to have a balance, and in all likelihood, we're not going to be able to do all of those three main business functions that I've just outlined by ourselves. We're going to need help. So Ernesto Ciroli's point of view is we should look at those three functions, those three areas, and determine which one we're most passionate about. Where does our heart lie in that? Where do our skills lie in that? Where are we most balanced out of those three areas? Producing and delivering a product, the marketing or selling a product, or accounting for the cost relative to the making and selling that product. If we can find that one area that it's very easy for us to be balanced in, then we could play a much more effective game without losing our balance. And when we understand that, what we need to do now is to recruit, enroll, enlist other people to provide the energy in order to provide the support to those other two activities in our business. Ciroli says, it is the failure to understand the need for other people to do some of these activities and the belief in the myth that an entrepreneur needs to be able to do them all by himself or herself is what accounts for the tremendously high failure rate of startup businesses. So, if you can appreciate the need to acquire help, if you will, to get this help to keep these functions in balance, the chances of succeeding in business is far greater. Consider the principle of leverage that Archimedes developed. On the seesaw, we could increase our relative weight by increasing our leverage. How do we do that? We do that by moving further out on the seesaw. So if you move further in, the impact that you have is less compared to the weight on the other end. So you could put a heavy kid in the middle of one side of the seesaw and a smaller child further out on the other end, and they can be balanced. That leverage, so that idea about moving out on our end of the seesaw using leverage to create this greater influence is interesting. Here's what we're doing, I think. We're increasing our reliance and appreciation for the fulcrum in this scenario. The fulcrum is everything in this scenario. Even though our physical distance is greater from the physical center, that is, from the physical fulcrum, our reliance on it and our emotional distance between us and that center is decreased. So we are connected more energetically through attention and appreciation of this fact. On the seesaw of life, it's not likely we're going to find ourselves opposite a child, chunkier than we were or are. However, we will find ourselves in situations opposed by people, conditions, or systems that seem to be more powerful and influentially heavier than we are. If we're out of balance regarding our jobs, that is, our jobs are perceived by us as being too heavy, we can't handle it, or too light, too easy for us, we can do something about it. If our finances are out of balance, we can do something about that. If our relationships are out of balance, we can do something about that. And if our health and happiness are out of balance, we can also do something about that. In every situation, we can either change the, quotes, weight, end quotes, of the countering force, or we can change our own, quotes, weight. We do this magic through our choice of thoughts. We can change our viewpoints until we discover a point of power that gives us mental, emotional, and then physical leverage and balance. Please recognize this. Power and influence are first and foremost mental constructs. They are thought, and then they are believed. Then the body accepts these energies and translates them into emotions with accompanying physical components such as neurotransmitters, hormones, enzymes, and so on. Those things then produce, over time, the manifested physical results. If the imbalance is in the area of financial health in our lives, we could look at the concept of worth, W-O-R-T-H. Our worth. Is our sense of worth out of balance? If it's so, we can change it. If the imbalance is in the area of physical health, we could look at these concepts. Safety, acceptance, control over our own bodies, freedom from domination, or having our power taken away. If any of these are out of balance, they can be changed as well. Here's the magic of the healing spirit. We can add the healing spirit to our thoughts and feelings, and it will, according to our needs, either remove the heavy weights of erroneous beliefs, misunderstanding, cellular memory, wrong or ineffective interpretations from us, or add weight to our own self-assuredness. So that area expands and grows and becomes clearer and more powerful to us. Or the healing spirit does both at the same time. We can have what we want, or better. I think that's an important focus. Set our goals for this or better and be open to that possibility. And this is how we can have what we want or better. We simply have to define what balance looks like and feels like. The vibrations of balance are extremely important, much more so than the words that go into the description of balance. But what balance looks like and feels like in those areas of your life that are important. Now, I think in terms of the 12 worlds, spiritual world, mental world, emotional world, physical world, family world, career world, financial world, social world, leisure world, political world, community world, or maintenance world. And if you can look at those and just consider for a few minutes, maybe with a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, as to where you suspect conditions are exhibiting the state of being out of balance, you can define what balance looks like and feels like and then allow the healing spirit in by asking for it and then relaxing as it happens. It certainly will. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection, the creator and connection of all that is, thank you for all of our blessings. We thank you for our growing awareness of our capabilities of being able to access your energies in those moments when we seem to be overmatched by circumstances and when we recognize that we can turn to you, request your support and your help, your energy, to get back into balance. We will fear those conditions of imbalance, temporary as they are, much less. It is the excitement of this area of balance that makes life so interesting for us. And as long as we don't lose sight of the fulcrum that supports us in all things, you, everything falls into place. And it is so. Thank you. Amen.